Welcome to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. My name is Sam Katadia, and we're going to be discussing performance in all walks of life. And we hope that this podcast will develop your curiosity and your insight around what it means to perform well.
Hey, welcome back to the Non-Dual Performer podcast. We are back in 2021 for a new series of the Non-Dual Performer podcast. Great. How are you doing, Sam?
Good to be here. It's, I've had a bit of a break. We built up quite a bit of content last year. Really enjoyable process. Keen to continue and share in that exploration on a whole range of different topics that stimulate us both. And thought what would be quite cool to explore around, again, the commitment to a non-dual exploration, which again is just trying to get a deeper sense of our essential self and what is reliable, permanent in our lives, what isn't, and then how that can inform how we interact with this world. And that's the sort of word, concept, notion, experience to explore today, I'd love to, is the world and our responsibility to the world. And there's a lot in our society at the moment where people stand up for the environment, ecological rights, about human rights. A friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, Larch Maxey.
I saw him on Sky TV the other day.
He's been
protesting
and camped beneath Euston train station.
Yeah.
In a stand against the HS2 rail line that's going to be cutting its way through a lot of ancient forests and important ecological sites. So. He's a great example of someone who's standing up for what he believes in. A lot of people at the moment around COVID and really putting a stance, taking a stand against conforming to vaccines and believing that the ethical stance is everyone should be taking a vaccine versus, well, where is this going? What's the... Is there an agenda behind vaccines? There's a real polarization there that might come up in this conversation. So bringing it back to, again, performance, life, and leading a life that's free and loving and expansive, where do you think that this sort of responsibility of almost fixing a world, interacting with a world, loving a world fits in with this? What's your experience with that?
Well, that's a brilliant question. Yeah, so responsibility is a fascinating topic because there is the primary responsibility of being able to give up the right to be a victim. And what I've seen in my own life is the idea of victimhood, all that ever does is perpetuate an experience of a broken sense of reality. And from that broken sense of reality, there is a constant urgency to try and fix something. And from my personal perspective around the world we're living in, I think there is a victim mentality which is pushed onto everyone and encouraged that, oh yeah, victimhood is the way forward. Instead of that initial responsibility, which I've found incredibly empowering, is giving up being a victim.
Yeah, and relating that to the world, I think if we see that the world is imposing something upon us and our sovereignty and our instincts around what makes sense, then we create a duality between us and the world, and somehow the world is forcing us to do stuff.
Exactly.
And it's not. I think in our exploration of our essential nature, if we're going out, if our interaction with the world is the world is broken, I need to go out and fix it. It is a duality. However, if we're going out into the world and seeing the world as an opportunity to express our peace, our freedom, our love, our happiness, that is no longer victimhood. That's the difference. Suddenly we're sharing from a place of happiness rather than looking to the world to think, I need to fix the world in order to acquire happiness. Now, if we, let's take the context of the pandemic. If we want to share in our freedom and our love for liberty and our happiness and not conform to certain rules within the narrative,
enforced rules within the narrative,
rules within the narrative, mm-hmm. then that is not going out to fix a world. That's standing as happiness, that's standing as love. It's very different. However, we can also engage in the same behavior to think, I'm not standing for wearing a mask or taking a vaccine because the world is fundamentally broken. I'm broken.
I'm going
to fight this. There's a sense of agitation in that, that it's not a sharing of happiness. It's not a sharing of love.
Duality.
It's more duality. So I think going on to this idea of victimhood and taking ownership, it all comes down to, am I wholeheartedly sharing in my essential self and nature, which is an expansive sense of peace, truth, openness, a bit like a peaceful sleep. Mm. You're not suddenly chained to an object or an experience. You're not stretching, you're not reaching out to an object. You are object free and you wake up knowing that you've had a peaceful sleep. Well, how do you know that? You don't know of peace through objects. You know of peace through the absence of objects. So alluding to that feeling, that sense, are we moving out into the world as an expression of love, or are we seeing the world as a separate device that somehow needs to mold and bend into my belief systems or views? So I think we can be in a position to engage in whatever we want as long as we own it in our direct experience as moving from a place of peace and love and happiness rather than a lack.
Yeah, for sure. And in a practical sense, like my own experience of that, it isn't trying to hold peace and happiness in place, because that again can become another duality. So it is very nuanced, and it is essentially just relaxing, allowing things to be, and not trying to change how you feel initially.
Yeah,
that is, you know, the basis of it. And you know, relating that to the world, to the global situation, like I've been through like all kinds of different experiences with it. Like I've been, you know, outraged that I need to conform because I'm not good at doing that. Like I don't enjoy rules. So often, you know, I would get confronted for not abiding by certain regulations enforced by a greater narrative. But the more I would buy into that idea that that narrative or that regulation was something in its own right as an object, and me a subject tangled up with it in some way, the more resistance I felt, the less, you know, the less naturally at peace I was, and the more suffering came about.
Yeah, and I think we just have to be very discerning around our motivation. If you're just owning your sovereignty and your values, and you're taking a stand as that, with that tension, again, sometimes taking a stand as peace, love, happiness, freedom can be personally challenging, because we're going against the grain of what is conditioned and indoctrinated. So
exactly.
I think you bring up a very good point there, that it's certainly not like, oh, this is all lovely, lovey-dovey, I'm feeling great, I want to share my love in the world by doing X, Y, and Z. Sometimes taking a stand as peace, love, and happiness is a deep going face to face with personal challenge, with separate self challenge, and that process isn't always easy, and it requires leaning into it, going into it, and yeah, it's a great point, because certainly what we don't want to put out in this conversation is that taking a stand for what we feel to be true is necessarily easy. It can take a lot of courage, and which again, the importance of exploring in your own direct experience and understanding the palpable essence of ourselves, that what knows never changes, what is known is always changing, our experiences, our perceptions, our notions of a world are constantly in flight and are moving like a kaleidoscopic carousel of images, thoughts, feelings, and emotions constantly moving and changing. If we keep knowing ourselves as that which knows, then I believe that our pretended mind body, the pretended subject that's doing this experience, which it isn't,
the imagined self
takes on those qualities of expansiveness, liberty, peace, spaciousness,
naturally,
without any effort, without any resistance. But it kind of has to start with that inward exploration. So a bit like a jack-in-the-box, you're going into yourself, into the knowing of exploring the nature of the knower through curiosity, through insight and discernment, and then the expression out into the world is informed from that position. It's informed then via the mediated imagined self out into the world, but it can't come from, right, if we've got to know thyself first deeply before we should even attempt any crusades out into the world. They will just happen. And when you look at certain figures throughout time, I think, you know, the book I'm reading at the moment by Sri Aurobindo, who studied Advaita, non-duality, was a scholar, spent most of his former years in the UK. He had a very kind of vigorous academic upbringing. I think he went to Oxford or Cambridge, one of the two. Really explored spirituality, put the legwork in, put the hard graft in, and then felt the desire to want to go and really support his country and liberate them from you know, some of the trappings, I think, of the sort of the British rule in the empire. And I think that you need that vigor of self-exploration before you take on the before the idea of taking on the mantle of fixing a world should even occur to you. Otherwise, it's always going to be perpetuated by a sense of separate self, thinking, look at me, I, the imagined self, are saving the world. That then becomes a cyclical trying to rescue the world. And then, you know, there's that, you see some of these documentaries on Netflix where those who want to stand up for the rights of human health through like a diabetes charities and other kind of medical causes, soon a lot of them, and Greenpeace as well, there are lots of sponsors and supporters within these crusades that are funded by the very principles and things they oppose.
Yes, 100%, which is such a bizarre paradox. It's almost like, I remember I had a very visceral lesson of this, where it's funny, I've often had incredibly physical lessons in non-duality naturally happen to me, and this was a really good one, and we spoke about this, Sam, as well. It was I was going for a walk at night, which I often do, and this cat came out, and I was stroking the cat. It was really lovely, and then I got this sense that something wasn't right. I got this sense of like, oh, maybe the cat's in the wrong place, I should move it to the side, maybe it'll get run over. So subtly, I had created this idea that the reality in which I was in wasn't wrong, it was lacking perfection. There was something that hadn't been accomplished through this interaction, and I needed to take action and do something in order to make reality perfect. Now, so I thought, okay, I'll move the cat over. So I convinced the cat to come over to the side. The cat eventually did. I went to go stroke the cat again, and I poked it square in the eye. The cat freaked out and ran away. And I was like, oh God, that was an incredible lesson of trying to fix something that isn't already broken. And I think this is the underlying principle which leads many organizations, many, I'm not saying this to cause a dissidence, but, you know, global organization governments are being led by this principle that things are broken and we constantly need to fix it. Now, I'm not denying the fact that there's a whole bunch of complex problems, because yes, there is and there will be, but those can't be solved from a perspective that what is naturally already whole,
yes,
already complete, already peaceful, already full of love, happiness, needs to be fixed to be what it already is.
Beautiful. And the book that I'm working on, the No Self-Help book, that example will go straight in there, because it's such a powerful reminder that if we move from a place of lack, which it was, like you said, there's something not quite right
in the
world. I need to go out and impose my imagined self upon this imagined situation and improve this imagined scenario.
Exactly.
Which naturally creates a almost like a splash of water or an electric shock of like, no, that's wrong. Look again. That's what suffering is. It's a call to look again.
Look again. It's a gift.
Look again. It's a gift, and it's a wake-up call. And it's a wake-up call to reminding ourselves that we are a process in this universe. I think words of Alan Watts. We're not an entity in a process. We are part of that process. We are ecologically entwined in everything. There's no objects have been found outside the knowing and the experience of them. So that's your call to investigate more. And the call to investigate more is that sort of stark example where you're sort of meddling with that cat, that lure of that object, that little lure in the water, like a fish swimming through the ocean sees a call, sees a sense of feeling, wants to move towards it, wants to stretch out to it, and somehow modify it. Only will, through a karmic occurrence, will either like a ripple kick back to you immediately, or kind of burn itself out and creep back in other shapes or forms. But because I know you're deeply attuned and sensitive to the order of things, and again, that's why, you know, I want to love doing these podcasts with Jamie, is because of his fierce love of truth.
Thanks for saying that.
And how attuned can you be to, in the space of a few minutes, get that immediate kickback from the illusory world, like your example of the cat, which again shows you that you're right on the money with the true order of things. And what can happen is, I think when we're on that journey of that self-exploration, the kickbacks come quicker and harder, but we wake up quicker and harder.
Yeah, definitely. And I really enjoy how Rupert Spira put it in one of his videos as well. He said, the one thing suffering can't stand is being viewed clearly. And it's like, all suffering, all doing or action, in that sense, I don't mean, you know, like doing your normal everyday stuff, you know, you still got to brush your teeth, get up, blah blah, but all the doing of the substantiation of a suffering separate self, all that ever wants is for the dissolution of that imagined identity, that imagined being, that imagined reality. Because it's like that. It is like a lens on reality which is so insubstantial, but we invest so much in it because we've been trained to do so.
And it's deeply codependent. I think
hugely codependent.
If we look at the, coming back to our sort of overall theme of like, how do we act responsibly in this world? How do we fix a world? We have to start calling out all the codependent entities that surround us, our commitment to the objectification of mental health, the ideologies around separating ourselves off from supposed enemies of nature, viruses, which a lot of credible people can make a strong argument that viruses are here to help and remove toxins rather than them be an actual sort of dualistic invader of our mind and bodies. But again, the codependent relationships that we live in don't want to be seen. The belief systems want to maintain their illusory grasp over everyone who's invested in them, and that's the world that we're in. Even the institutions, when great ideas start out, businesses, charities grow, the institution develops an ideology and an ego around it. Becomes a sense of maintaining position, brand, and keeping up appearances. It loses its local qualities. To take the the monarchy presenting this idea of striving and reaching and somewhat elevated people in society, like the celebrity culture. Yeah. So celebrities build these codependent relationships with their fans, and they need that kind of sick feedback. They sort of love and hate their fan base at the same time.
All the validation and
So I think if we're going to even attempt to look at shifting a world. It's sort of two. It's twofold, really. Start with knowing thyself, exploring what makes sense to you in your direct experience. What has ever provided you long-lasting peace, love, and happiness? Has it lied in an object? Has it lied in that sense of worth going out to fix a world? Where does it reside? Or maybe it's already present. Explore those things that bring you most pleasure. Are they the times when you just fancy going for that run, when you fancy going to do some help at your homeless charity or writing a post around an ethical issue? If it's an expression of love, great. If it is an attack on a world, if it is a sense of I need to change this, if it is a sense of agitation and
defending an identity,
exactly, great. Mm. Defending an identity and a persona, mm-hmm. around what we've learned, what we've invested in, what we've trained as. Take a medical doctor. If we've been, our persona is years and years of training to defend and not challenge contagion theory and not explore perhaps a more environmental model like Beauchamp's model. Are we really challenging our personal identity around loss aversion and going in? That's a challenging journey, but will be a releasing one, rather than a codependent one where we treat and manage symptoms of a world that's broken.
It's perpetuation.
So good intentions can lead to unfortunate outcomes and unfortunate outputs if they're not grounded in a sense of knowing our true self and knowing our essence, which this channel is about. But it's important to bring some light to a world which we live in, we have to interact with, but it's trying to inform best practice, if you will, of how one can go out into the world, share love without a sense of lack and end up poking the world in the eye like that cat you did.
yeah, exactly. And also, I think I just want to mirror back one of the points you said, because it's really important to look at. There's this incredible sense of trying to fix something, and then, you know, large groups of people carry through with actions which don't actually help and disenchant other people based on thinking those actions are the best things for those people as well. And the thing that makes me want to share more about the truth of reality and really hold strong to truth, even if I'm confronted, even if people, you know, try and persecute me about it, is that if someone thinks that the situation is broken and they take action on a large scale thinking that it's the best for everyone and continue forward, they will just keep following that dialogue. And the effects of that, we've seen the effects of that, you know. Look what happened in Soviet Russia. Look what happened with the Nazis. That is the consequence of buying into believing things are broken and then carrying forward with an action and mobilizing an entire nation to go in a direction because they think it's best for everyone, without knowing themselves fully, without knowing reality fully, without having that essential truth in place. And then they become immovable, and the effects of that can be devastating. And it's, you know, like you said earlier, a lot of these organizations who are fighting certain issues end up being fueled by what they're fighting, and it's like this strange consuming codependent circle which never seems to end.
And beliefs want to protect beliefs.
There you go. Yeah. Beliefs want to protect beliefs.
Yeah. Great conversation.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this one. And look very much forward to our next one. Good to get back in the flow of it. I think we covered some good ground today.
Yeah, fantastic. Lovely to speak to you, Sam, as always. And thank you all for listening. We'll be aiming to produce a podcast every week again. And we may have breaks at the end of years, but we'll definitely be back with more. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being a listener. Make sure you share this podcast with anyone you think may benefit from it. Just share it around. We want to get as many listeners as possible. And feel free to comment on it. Give us a good review if you really liked it. And we look forward to speaking some more.
And also challenge us. We want to hear, you know, opposing objections to what we're saying. So good shout out to share and to explore. Really, again, take home to is if we want to go out and fix a world, know in our heart of hearts this is an expression of love and happiness and freedom and liberty, as opposed to a sense of agitation and need.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, everyone.
Bye. Thanks, everybody, for tuning into my podcast channel for this episode. Hope to see and hear from you all soon.